Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Baseless Speculation, all the pop culture and research so you don't have to. I'm Joe.
I'm Jax.
And I'm Joe!
Now boys, what do we think is going to happen in The Running Man?
Edition.
Yes.
Is it also going to be set in 2025?
I hope so. I hope so.
Well, The Running Man. Okay, so The Running Man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, hey, all right.
Let's stop with the bullshit and talk about The Running Man. So, finally, dude.
Okay.
My memory and knowledge of The Running Man comes from the 1987 movie The Running Man, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Wildly different story to this movie.
Yeah.
In that movie, he was in. So the world's gone bad.
Crazy banana mode.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a food.
Ladies
riot.
And gentlemen, the world has gone crazy banana mode.
I regret
to inform you.
The world has gone crazy banana.
Oh, that's if the minions have to tell you the world's ended. That's so sad.
So in the original version of the. In my original version of The Running Man, which is not the first.
In Joel Dush's The Running Man.
In Joel Dush's Arnold Schwarzenegger's The Running Man.
Yeah.
So in 2017 in that movie.
Yeah.
The world's gone crazy stupid style.
It's gone crazy stupid love.
Yeah.
The world crazy stupid love.
Yeah. The American government. America's just become a police state.
Yeah.
There is a riot.
2017.
Yeah. That never happened.
Prescient movie. Yeah.
There's a riot. Arnold Schwarzenegger is like, he's like a captain.
Yeah.
In the police.
Of the cops.
Yeah. And he's ordered to open fire on these rioters who are rioting for food.
Cool. That's crazy. That would never happen.
No, they're unarmed.
No way.
He says, go to hell, basically. Yeah. And they say, pfft. And then they kill all of them. Oh. And then they say, he did it.
I see.
So
he becomes Johnny Running Man.
Well, he becomes the Butcher of Bakersfield.
Gotcha. Yeah. So he's been ordered to kill civilians. And then he's like, stand down. And civilians are like, no. And so then the cops open fire.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, I know it might look like that it was more than one cop that did this.
Yeah.
But let us all assure you, it was this one guy.
It was Arnie. Yeah.
Okay. And Arnie was like, I'm open fire. Does he actually open fire?
No, Arnie says, go to hell. I'm not opening fire on these guys.
I thought he was saying go to hell to the people he was killing.
No.
Higher ups are like, you got to do this. And he's like, no. And then he's like, well, we're doing it anyway. And you're blaming you.
Yeah. So basically, it's a so say there's five guys.
Yeah.
Four guys are like, Arnie, you got to kill these unarmed civilians.
Arnie says,
no.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they say, well, we'll kill them. And then they're like, oh, who killed all these unarmed civilians? It was Arnold. Arnold goes, no,
I did not do
it. It sucks that there's, four bad apples.
Yeah.
Thank God we got a good cop, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
See, there's the problem of, apples going bad when clearly the majority are bad.
And also, dude, you have mold spreads. Dude.
Yes, anyway.
You get one rotten fruit. In a fruit bowl.
Yeah.
They're all going to be rotten. You're going to wreck your oranges.
Yeah, anyway. Only a couple, though.
Yeah.
I respect no police officers.
Yeah.
Anyway, Arnold goes to prison.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately for him, it's set in the world of The Running Man.
Yeah.
Where The Running Man is a television program where convicted criminals get a chance to do The Running Man.
Oh, yeah.
And if they survive, then they escape the death penalty.
I see.
No one's ever done it.
And what is The Running Man?
It's like it's basically they put through like challenges and stuff while professional killers are trying to kill. kind of like what we.
Hey, I don't want to direct The Running Man as in like the game show, not the movie.
Yeah.
But it feels like you're putting a hat on a hat. There.
Yeah. But also imagine how good Wipeout, say, would be.
Yeah, but if someone was also snipers. Shooting.
I just. I mean,
or like Big Brother.
I don't know, man, because the incentive there is to like get out.
Mm.
And you, I just feel you don't need the added snipers.
No, but for me watching at home, I say, oh, I love watching Wipeout because what if they fall off the platform?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I go, and also, what if they get shot in the head by a gun? Great television. Or I'm on Survivor and I'm like, wow, the alliances that these survivors have paired together, you know, the dynamics, it's really interesting. And also at any time they could be shot with a gun.
Ah.
You know, that's entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you go to the zoo and you go, I love seeing the animals.
But I kind
but
of
at any
wish,
time
you know,
they could be shot
time,
with a gun.
They just,
you know, that would,
like, you
improve
know,
the zoo experience.
Set some lions into
a little bit of danger.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, personally, I wouldn't have done that, but you know, hey. I don't have a successful game show.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
You've not made something as powerful or as earth-shattering as The Running Man. Mm. Well, I think this movie, the new one, the 2025 one, is far more based off the books, where it's about somebody, Glenn Powell, who's very down on his luck. He doesn't have any money. His daughter is sick, and he's unemployable as well. Mm-hmm. And to make some fucking money for once, he joins The Running Man, which is like a televised game show.
As part of the Games Network.
Yeah, where he gets hunted for sport by a bunch of hitmen. That part's similar.
And he's got to survive. Well, in the book.
30 days?
Yeah.
In the book, I think it's.
Like what?
Oh, no, it's it's 30 days in that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to survive 30 days, and in the book, he gets $1
billion.
If he
billion does. Dollars?
Dude, that's
Damn,
worth it.
Dude.
This is a Richard Bachman book, not a Stephen King book. It was Stephen King's.
What you mean?
Stephen King had a nom de plume or a pen name that he went under for some of his back when he was a horror guy for his thriller novels and also one horror novel he wrote under the pen name Richard Bachman, and then it was discovered that he was, this is the same guy. But anyway, The Running Man is one of the books that he wrote during that time.
Okay.
He also wrote another book called, I think, The Long Walk, which has not the same premise, but it's kind of got the similar, like, crazy game show that is going to kill you. I really was on a kick for that, I guess.
The Long Walk's the thing that they've turned into a movie again recently.
Yeah, where it's like a bunch of kids have to do a long walk.
Yeah.
Well, a game show that will kill you is you know, it's rife.
Hey, it's fertile ground.
Yeah,
fertile,
but would you write two books about it 3 years apart?
If I'm getting paid,
dude.
Bro,
fair enough.
Bro, how much are they paying me? A billy.
dude. And that's 1970s money.
Oh,
How deep am I in my cocaine addiction?
At this point, not that deep.
Well,
1974 or whatever.
The fun thing is that The Long Walk was actually Stephen King's first book he wrote.
Oh, damn.
And it didn't get published until a billion years later.
There's another Richard Bachman book like that came out in 2007.
Blaze.
Yeah.
Like a lot of his other books. Mm. Is this also connected to the evil turtle or whatever?
I don't think so. I don't think the Richard Bachman books are connected to the Dark Tower mythology.
Okay.
Like the rest is. What's up, dude?
Yes.
What's got your grapes?
Okay. So I just said The Long Walk. We're making fun of them having the same premise or similar premise.
Yeah.
If you're making a movie for The Long Walk, would you release it in September 12, 2025 when Running Man comes out starting November 2025?
Well, yeah, dude, you could do the greatest double feature of your life.
One's coming out in September, you said?
One's coming out mid-September, the other one's coming out start of November.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome,
Six
dude.
Weeks apart.
Yeah.
And you know how you said, finally Hunger Games, this is a bit of off.
Yeah.
This is like, you know.
Finally Hunger Games for Boys.
You said finally Hunger Games for Boys while watching the trailer.
Yeah.
The Long Walk is directed by Francis Lawrence, the director of Hunger Games.
Whoa, it is Hunger Games for Boys. I was going to say.
But that's a different movie.
Yeah, that's
the other movie's Hunger Games for Boys.
Hunger Games for Boys.
Yeah, what is The Long Walk? What happened?
Does the Long Walk is...
He's a guy being like, damn, America sucks. I need money for my kid. I go enter a competition.
It's like, in a dystopian United States ruled by a totalitarian regime.
That had never happened.
A group of young men enter an annual walking contest where they must walk at 3 miles per hour nonstop or be executed until only one of them is left alive.
It's so funny. That is someone's first idea for a novel.
Annual walking.
What if some guys had to walk?
Was he just watching like the Olympics where they do the walking thing? And like, man, that's such a cool-looking sport.
Imagine you had to walk
a
lot.
It doesn't look cool. It's very impressive, but it's not.
Think,
cool looking.
I think the story's like the protagonist. It's, you know, it's kind of like weirdly a survival story.
Yeah.
Where slowly his body falls apart. Uh-huh. And I don't think they want him to win. I don't think anyone's meant to win. And like,
it's just, it's not scary.
Well,
or it's not like, what are you trying? Walk. Come on.
I think your feet are coming apart because you're walking so much. Isn't that? You know, in some way intriguing.
You like, oh, you have to go like on this exhausted. Annual hike.
You can't stop walking.
Like, I can't. I
you
mean,
piss and shit yourself as like, you walk. Isn't it something to that?
I get the idea.
You know, it's
that,
a long
like,
march.
You know, it's like, you know,
like what soldiers have to do.
Yeah, I get that
shit.
Too. Like, I get the idea. Maybe the idea you have to keep going. Like, it's an endurance thing or whatever. But like, it's an annual competition.
It's the walking competition.
Or
well,
you'll I think be
well, the long walk is apparently a metaphor.
Obviously.
Or
yes.
The Vietnam War.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
Because there's a televised draft to enter the walk.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah,
the horror of seeing
like,
your friends die and the seeming lack of reason for any of it to be occurring in the first place.
Yeah. Like
again,
Vietnam,
okay.
That's
numb, bro.
That's numb,
I
baby.
Understand. But like Running Man, you're like, oh, there's action there because he's trying to flee a thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, ooh, we can do some cool shit there.
I guess
like we see in the trailer where he's running from a bunch of people. And it's basically like, you know, it's kind of John Wick-y. There's a whole slew of assassins trying to hunt you down for a long walk or whatever it's called. I don't know how you film that.
I guess it's
exciting.
I guess it's meant to be. Maybe it's not an exciting movie.
Maybe it's not.
Maybe it's like.
Maybe it's a somber movie.
Yeah, well, I feel like if I was making that.
127 hours. How are you going to shoot that to make
Yeah, I think I would make it like that. It's like.
Never
it's
seen it.
It's a survival movie. You know, you watch these people fall apart and you go, God, are they going to be able to. Hack walking so much?
See, also, already, you can't do that with a straight face.
No, because, like, stuff happens.
Yeah, I know.
No, but
is
it like... No, but, like, okay. Like,
I don't know.
I mean, most movies you can water down to a premise of... Like, The Hunger Games, like, what if teens were in the forest and they had to kill each other?
Yeah, and they get given gifts of a bow and arrow and one
the
guy has a gun.
The walk has shit going on.
I don't
on.
Know. What's the walk got?
Look, I don't know why I'm back.
Like, I'm
defending the long walk.
I don't know why I am, because I don't think it's going to be very good.
Yeah.
But... Cooper Hoffman is the main guy.
I don't know who that is.
Philip Seymour Hoffman's son.
Okay. Cooper Hoffman sounds like a fake celebrity.
Yeah.
Cooper Hoffman's the main guy from Licorice Pizza.
Okay, can he act good?
Yeah, he's really good in that.
So
Hamill's the main bad guy.
I know
guy.
That guy. So he's acting like, is that a gene that we have that you can pass on?
I don't know.
It's not nepotism, but actually like it's genetic.
I don't believe in nepo babies. I just believe acting is genetic.
Yeah.
It would make sense.
Yeah.
You know?
What else has he been in? Oh, he's in Saturday Night. I watched that the other day.
I wonder if they'll make the other Richmond Bachman books into... I don't know why I can't say Richard Bachman. Mm. He's saying Richmond Bachman or something. Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if they'll make the other ones. Like,
do you know that Stephen King played a character called Richard Bachman in Sons of Anarchy Season 3?
Ah, I didn't know he was in Sons of Anarchy,
why
but
did
I guess...
he do that,
it's
dude?
An unrelated character as well.
That's bizarre.
Mm. He's just...
He's a weird guy, so fair enough.
Is Rage... Richard Bachman's first book is Rage.
Yeah.
Is that related to Rage Carrie 2?
What the fuck are you saying to me?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That has a sequel.
Yeah.
No. Called Rage.
That's unrelated.
Colon, Carrie 2.
No. Unrelated.
What is
as
Rage
far as I know.
About?
I don't know. I know Blaze. The
Rage is about a school shooting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wait.
What?
Well, he wrote two stories, one short story about a school shooting that he was like, I shouldn't have written that because it kind of glorified school shootings.
Well, Rage was written as getting it on.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Mm. But that's not the one. Cause this
Rage is the one that's...
And then develops it for Carrie or whatever?
Yeah.
Rage...
No, I think Rage, no, Carrie
Rage
2
is the
a movie.
Oh, okay. I get conflicting answers.
Yeah.
Okay. What Jackson just said about the school shooting book that maybe glorifies it, that is Rage.
Okay. Yeah.
Is Rage related to Rage, colon, Carrie 2? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Okay. And that wasn't a book, that was just a movie.
That was just a movie. And Blaze, the Richmond Bachman book.
Richard?
What the fuck? The Richard Bachman book, released in 2007, is about a... mentally disabled con man who steals a child. Maybe Richard Bachman shouldn't have written any books. is what I'm hearing.
Maybe there's
a reason.
It was
written before Carrie Blaze.
Yeah.
Because he found it in an attic.
Yeah.
Hmm.
He was like, this was, and it had to be a Richard Bachman book.
He found,
because
you.
He wrote
he found it in an attic. What do you mean? Oh, he found the manuscript in an attic.
And he was like,
no, wait, what do you mean?
Well, I don't know if that's
Did
true.
Did he write it and then just like
well,
left
yeah,
it
Well, yeah, allegedly
there?
He wrote, he found it and he was like, I only need to rewrite
that's
the
funny.
First 100 pages or something.
That's very funny. Like, I didn't write, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, I remember
Who wrote
this?
Me.
But then also.
Well, it says that he rewrote the manuscript.
Yeah.
Editing out much of what he perceived as over-sentimentality.
Yeah.
Okay.
But also, that came out after he wrote the book Lissy's Story, which is a really weird Stephen King story that some people love, but I was like, what the fuck is this? Where it's basically him writing about how sad his wife would be if he died, but like through this weird lens of like, because he is meant to be the dead. So the story is about a woman whose husband dies, and then she finds through his writing that he had access to some magic other universe where there was a cat that is a bus or whatever.
Yeah, awesome.
Anyway,
that,
but the book
that was a good sentence
like,
to hit me with. Thank you.
Yeah, dude. And it's cool. I forget. You don't want to get eaten by it. That's all I remember.
I would never.
But the
want
book's
it.
Like
yep,
all like,
sure.
Wow, my husband was such a genius and so special and so amazing. And you're like, Stephen King, that's you. I know that's you. You're just writing. I mean, I know you're always writing about you, but that's just you. I don't know if you can do that. Anyway, Stephen King. What a funny guy. Best book you ever wrote, The Tommyknockers. That's his cocaine book, and I love it so much.
Blaze is crazy.
Blaze is crazy, dude.
The story concerns Clayton Blaisdell Jr., known as Blaze for short, thus the title, a mentally disabled small-time con artist who kidnaps a wealthy gentleman's baby son in hopes of fulfilling the dreams of George Thomas Rackley, Blaze's deceased best friend and partner in crime. And then this line just says, and who continues to help him.
Yeah. He sees ghosts, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
That's nice. So the ghost is like, kidnap that baby.
Kidnap that fucking baby.
I love when you kidnap that baby.
The beautiful thing about Stephen King is that he's just written enough.
Yeah.
Because he writes like a book a year, even at like 80 or whatever he is now. That there's bound to be some heaters in there. Yeah. You know, you think, oh, Stephen King, he's a pretty good writer because he's just, his oeuvre is so gigantic. Mm-hmm. He's got the odds in his favor,
well,
you know?
Yeah.
Blaze can fuck off though solely because, yeah, it's a Richard Bachman book,
yeah,
but it's got a foreword by Stephen King. So on the front cover of the book, it has Stephen King bigger than Richard Bachman.
That's cheating. That's so
forward
funny,
by.
Dude.
That's great.
Yeah,
good for him.
That's
nah,
awesome.
Whatever. No. Get your money.
Yeah,
fuck that.
He's already got his money. I don't even know why.
Whatever. Get more money.
Yeah.
You can do good, Stephen King.
Stephen King needs more money. That's
true. I don't know what he's doing
he's
with it.
He's publishing a sequel to the Talisman books.
Yeah, good.
This year.
I don't know. I've never
Talisman
read
3.
Yep, sure.
Yeah.
Never read a Stephen King book in my life.
I think that's connected to The Dark Tower, maybe.
Sure.
I've read heaps of Stephen King.
The Talisman.
I used to be a big Stephen King
Blackout.
Head when I was a younger man.
That's not surprising me.
Yeah, dude. The last book, most recent story of his I read was that one about magic electricity. That was pretty good. Revival. That was all right.
2014's Revival.
It was pretty good.
Have you read Under the Dome?
No, because I know the ending of it and it's full on stupid.
That's the adolescent aliens
are
like, all right.
Because
we'll
it's a huge book. Like, it's massive and it's full of Stephen King's favorite thing in the world, small town drama.
Yeah.
And then the revelation at the end is, oh, yeah, some aliens have captured these people.
But it's like teen aliens.
Yeah.
Right? I kind of like that as a kind of, you know.
Yeah, I think it would be very disappointing after reading the book.
Well, yeah, but you're not really reading why they're under the dome. You're reading
for
the drama.
Well, I think that's a pretty big question.
Oh, yeah, but then eventually, you're like, you know, it's a thick book, right? So they're like, how much of that is really about the dome?
Yeah.
And more about small town politics.
That's true, but I think he has done a better version of that story like 4 times.
Well, yeah.
You know.
I get it.
Have you read 11/22/63? Is that awesome?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
This is not a bad one.
Okay.
Had an okay TV adaptation too with James Franco.
Yeah, famous pervert piece of shit,
full on garbage pedophile.
James Franco.
James Franco. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Has a terrible ending. Stephen King is bad at endings.
Yeah,
it's a pretty notorious thing about him. Yeah.
Carrie has a good ending.
Yeah, Carrie is a
yeah.
She kills everyone.
But then she kills. What happens at the very end, though? Because she goes crazy in the school, goes back home to her mom,
kills her mom. Yeah.
Then what?
Maybe that's the end.
That thing.
No,
be,
I feel like
who plays the mother? Because wasn't she when she was reading the script or whatever? She was laughing, being like, "This is so funny."
Yeah.
Something like that, being like, "No, it's a horror.
It's not meant to be funny.
She's like, it's so funny."
Yeah, Dirty
though.
Pillows or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're remaking that too soon, aren't they? Directed by what's his face?
Oh yeah,
Dingus, who made Haunting of Hill House and
Flanagan.
Oh, yeah. Nick
the
Flanagan.
The ending of the Carrie book is stupid.
Yeah. What happened?
What is it also Alien?
Yeah. It was adolescent aliens had made her magic.
It's a very funny concept to be like, yeah, what we think is this kind of horror thing or whatever's going on. It's like, it's basically the equivalent of like a youth with a magnifying glass on ants. And you're like, yeah, okay, fair enough. It's a good, like, maybe the twist of a short story.
Yeah.
But you're right, I guess. Yeah. Like a thick book and that's the end. You're like, ah.
Because, you know, it is a balance, I guess, with writing, where obviously you need to care about the interpersonal dynamics of these characters, but also the hook.
Why are they under the dome?
Who
put that dome there?
I don't, and clearly, you know, the aliens thing tells me Stephen King didn't really even have an idea.
Honestly,
that really feels like they're like, fuck, why are they under the dome?
It feels like it would have been a better book if he just didn't, like, he left it unanswered.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, whatever.
Yeah, 100%.
It's not about the dome.
Yeah.
People.
To carry. Because I forget that her mom tries to kill her too.
Yeah.
Because she's like, you're possessed by Satan, which is a fair assumption after you've just massacred her high school.
Dude, I'd come to the same conclusion.
Yeah. Mm. But she does. She successfully stabs her. Carrie stops her heart using telekinesis. Then Carrie, who is dying, goes out into the street.
Devil woman.
Yeah.
Two of the kids from the high school try and kill her, like run her over.
Fair enough.
She takes control of the car. Explodes it, they die.
Yeah.
Then,
man, she's already dying in her her last act. She's like, nah, I'm gonna kill more people.
Yeah. Hell yeah, Carrie. Get your own away.
Then she runs into another person who finds her dying and they both exchange a brief telepathic contact. Carrie, who killed people who thought they were responsible for the prank, were innocent. And then Carrie dies crying out for her mother.
What?
Mm.
Then there's more.
Mm-hmm. So there's a telepathic link of like someone who's just
Sue,
like, bro.
Sue and Carrie.
Bro,
yeah, they have a comment. Yeah. Anyway, then there's a news report on it. They are like, there's like a committee that look into it and they conclude there'll be other people like Carrie.
Yeah.
And then as the novel ends, a woman enthusiastically writes a letter to her sister about her baby daughter's telekinetic powers and reminisces about their grandmother who had similar abilities.
Mm.
So he's
The Shine, dude.
Mm. This feels very much like, you know, the M. Night Shyamalan. It's like, we're setting it up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he just loves, it's so funny. Like, again,
I'm glad we're talking about this because there's some people that are just dog shit at endings.
Yeah.
Stephen King.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Edgar Wright, director of 2025's The Running Man.
Yes.
He's so bad at ending movies.
Yeah.
He does exactly what I was just complaining about Stephen King doing.
Yeah.
Just throws in a little sneaky epilogue every fucking time. We don't need it.
So Scott Pilgrim, quite like that film.
Do you like the ending?
What happens?
Scott loses to what's his face, and then he discovers the power of self-respect.
Yeah.
Kills him.
Yeah.
Then he decides he's not going to be a pedophile.
He's like, I'm dating a 15-year-old, 14-year-old?
Yeah.
Knives is 17.
Oh,
that's 20. Two?
No, because that's good. No,
yeah,
not good.
Yeah, what other Edgar Wright movies?
And then
what
happens? So he's like, I'm not gonna date an underage.
Doesn't he sit on a swing with
Ramona
Flowers?
Yeah, and then
that's the end.
That's the end.
He gets together with Ramona. But the whole thing, the reason people don't like that ending is because the whole thing in the books is that you realize he's they're a bad fit.
Yeah, he's fine.
And like the movie still has that in it. So then it's just like they got together. It's like.
Yeah, I knew too many people that loved that movie when I was like a teenager and like in my early 20s, and it's made me dislike it immensely.
That's fine.
Yeah.
World's End has the epilogue where it cuts forward to the future and then Simon Pegg's character has started like a group
with all the alien
With the alien things. Robot man, Shaun of the Dead?
Shaun of the Dead's ending is okay, but it still does have an epilogue where it jumps forward.
Oh, yeah, he's playing Nintendo with his Zombified Hero. Which takes
away the emotional impact of
him
dying.
Fair enough.
Hot Fuzz
is just everyone's in jail and everything's fine. That one, again, not really an issue. Last Night in Soho is just a bad movie.
Okay. I've never seen Last Night in Soho.
It has a crazy ending that kind of just undoes.
What the premise?
It's like a girl keeps going back in time to the 70s.
Yeah. And basically, well, she finds out that all these people were abused by men.
Yeah.
And that men stink. Okay. But then it turns out that actually a woman was crazy.
That's funny.
Yes. And the woman tries to kill her.
Okay.
She kills the woman and then everything's okay.
Okay.
And the bad men, nothing happens to them. If I remember correctly, I just remember leaving that movie and being like, huh.
Yeah.
Not the ending I would have done.
Okay.
Baby Driver.
Oh, fuck Baby Driver, dude.
Starts horrendous.
Fucking Baby Driver.
What a film. Full of pedophiles. My God.
Wall to fucking wall.
Wow. It's like that film and like what? Get Him to the Greek? Yeah. You're like, wow. Nothing but cars. Like pedophile all the way down there, man. Oof.
God, dude, Baby Driver was one of those movies that so many people were like, dude, you gotta watch it. It's so good.
It wasn't that good.
It sucked. I hated it from the moment.
Yeah.
Even, hey, and this is a bad sentence, pedophiles aside.
Yeah. Before we knew all the pedophiles in this film.
The movie's just not very good. Everybody was like, no, the music plays into what he does. But
shut up.
But in this kind of like limp-dicked, like nothingy way.
And then he's like, hated that movie, dude. Yeah, the whole idolizing of like a waitress. And then it's like, you know, what's your name? Like Baby. And then that's meant to be like, if someone's like, what's your name? Baby. I'm like, shut up.
Oh, dude.
I hate you.
Fuck that movie. Also, fuck Midnight in Paris while we're talking about movies we hate.
Yeah.
Fuck that movie.
Who directed that film?
Woody Allen.
Oh, no. Talk about pedophile.
Fucking hate Midnight.
Pedophile aside.
Files aside, okay? Obviously, this is bad, but if we can table that for the moment, okay? I would say Midnight in Paris is my most hated film of all time.
Interesting.
I fucking hate that
Well,
movie,
I fucking
dude.
Hate Baby Driver. And I like the Cornetto trilogy. I also really like World's End. I just think that, you know.
Tighten up those endings?
Yeah. Not good. It's okay to, like, Shaun of the Dead, it's okay to end without revealing that.
Nick Frost is still alive. As a zombie. Like, what does that add, really?
Yeah,
other than a little joke.
And also, I guess it means on rewatch that the funny ha-ha comedy. But then, like, the fact that he has to... Like his mom's still dead.
Mm.
Like, and that's sad. So there's still, like, emotional weight.
Honestly, the more I think about it, the more... Do I like Edgar Wright as a director?
Dude, you should watch Last Night in Soho.
Maybe.
That'll win you over.
He did Tintin, yeah?
No. Oh, I like Tintin.
Didn't he do something with Tintin?
He wrote it, maybe?
Mm. Tintin was a pretty good movie.
I thought
it's a bit of fun.
He wrote it. He also wrote Ant-Man, remember?
Yeah.
But how much did they use?
Yeah, how much did they snip away?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ant-Man has a proper ending, so we know that he didn't write that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's the original ending for Running Man, I wonder?
In the Stephen King book?
Yeah, my guess would be...
I could figure it out.
My guess would be that he figures out that the whole game is corrupt and he kills the CEO or whatever.
The trailer is like, I'm going to come back and I'm burn this to the ground. Yeah. I'm assuming he does that.
Absolutely.
It might
be a bit of a Pyrrhic victory.
I spelled the ending of Long Walk for myself.
Yeah.
And if Long Walk... and Running Man are coming out 6 weeks apart.
Yeah, yeah.
And if that is the ending for Running Man.
Spoil the long, because, dude, it's an old book.
Yeah,
who cares?
Who gives a shit?
Well, I mean, it's a new movie.
It's an old book. Who cares?
But so is Running. Which one am I spoiling?
Both, baby. I don't give a fuck.
Start with the walk or whatever. Then we go to Running.
So basically.
Go slow, go then go quick.
Okay. So the Long Walk ends with one of the characters surviving the walk.
Yeah.
Everyone else is dead. They're like, hey, the walk's over. And he's like, no, there's still someone up ahead. And it's just like he's envisioning like a shadowy character that isn't there.
Yeah.
So basically it's like, hey, the war's over, but the war's still going.
He continues to walk.
Yeah, he continues to walk. And then as the book ends, he's got the strength. He's like, yeah, this is the right thing to do. And he just like brings it up to like a jog.
Yeah, okay. He's like, I'm loving this actually.
Yeah.
This is good for me.
And he's chasing
something
that's not there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know.
Yeah. Vietnam, dude.
Yeah. Vietnam.
PTSD. There we go. Seeing shit. Oh, no, this is bad.
Yeah, we shouldn't have gone to Vietnam. Maybe I don't know if that's woke to say.
Jogging, though. Does he have, like, he goes a walk, then he goes a run. Mm. Is there, like, a little trot in between?
Yeah, probably.
Well, he would slowly just... Yeah.
No, I'm just wondering if you write a book about that.
Oh, I see. Like the long trot.
Yeah.
Okay. So Running Man.
He should have a little look in his attic.
Yeah.
See what he finds.
Any other Bachman books? I think he's pretty committed these days to writing his crime books. That's all he does these days. Okay. He writes books about somebody named Holly, who's a detective. I don't fucking know. Well, Stephen King, pack it in. Okay.
Holly was in 20.
No, it's that. That's a book about that character, but there's a lot of other books about her.
Mr. Mercedes, Finders Keepers. Mm-hmm.
He wrote a trilogy. Yeah.
So he's okay. So he's like, oh, God, I like this character. I'm having fun with it. Whatever. Leave me alone.
But I think people are kind of getting sick of it. I don't know.
Well, he don't,
I read when
whatever, you don't care.
Oh, yeah,
whatever, write your book. 80, if you like
it. He loves The Flash. That's all I know
about. If he's having fun writing about this detective, look, let a million blossoms bloom.
He wrote that book with his son about what if every woman went in a cocoon.
Well, what if?
What if, dude?
What happens when they hatch?
They would go.
What happens?
That is another crazy book where every woman goes in a cocoon.
Yeah.
And the men that go cocoon. Crazy because there's no women anymore.
That's for me. Yeah. All right.
And if you open a cocoon with a woman in it, the woman comes out and goes feral.
Yes.
And it turns out that when the women are in the cocoon, they go to a reality run by a magic woman named Eve. Where there's no men. And then something, they realize that women need men and men need women and everything turns out okay.
So they come back out, they don't grow wings.
No. Some women stay in the woman dimension and some women come back to real. He wrote that book with his son.
Which,
at what point are you like,
Sleeping Beauties?
Are you like, Dad?
Fuck
you saying?
There's two options there, I think, or, which is very
at
funny.
At one point you're like, son?
Yeah, but you're
saying, the fuck you saying?
Your son comes to you and he's like, Dad, I got a great idea for a novel. We should collaborate. All the women went in a cocoon and went to woman realm? And you go, well, I got to foster his creativity.
Well, what do you mean by in a cocoon?
My sweet darling, beautiful baby boy.
Hey, look,
what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, you be Joe.
Okay, Joe Hill. Dad, I got this great idea. I got the dad, Mr. Stephen King.
Yes, my
beautiful
boy.
I got this great idea for a novel.
Yeah.
We should collaborate on it.
Of course.
It's about what if every woman went in a cocoon.
I love that idea. Yeah, like, you know, they go to a woman grow and then they come out of the,
in the woman dimension, there's a magic tree, I think.
Okay, I love this.
And a magic woman named Eve.
Like Adam and Eve, like the primordial Eve, maybe? Yeah, what do the men do?
Kill
I guess because the men,
other, I think,
because the men are going a bit crazy.
They stab each other to death.
Hi, this is it's me, Owen King. Oh, I wrote this book, Joe Hill, innocent.
Yeah, you keep rewriting like Lock and Key or whatever. You're doing
Joe
well.
Hill's like, I quite like some of his writing. Like,
he wrote
Nosferatu is a pretty good book. And
Horns, Heart Shaped Box.
I've never seen Horns.
Heart Shaped Box.
He did a great comic called The Horns Full of Heads or Basket Full of Heads or something. He had like a good comics run, like his own imprint.
All right.
And another good one about a bunch of guys that find Eldritch cosmic horror math. That was pretty good.
That's sick.
Heart-shaped Box was all right from memory, but it does involve a relationship, I think, with an older man and a young woman. The age gap is maybe 20 plus years.
Okay.
Like it's an old rocker kind of thing.
Oh,
like he's in
yeah.
a, like, you know, he's a, in, a, in a band, like he was in a very famous band or whatever, but coming towards like, you know, not like the end of his life, but like say he's like 50, 60, whatever. It's like retired or whatever. But
career.
He's like dating someone in their 20s kind of stuff.
At least Stephen King's rocker character in the movie Desperation dies in a hole full of teeth.
That's good to hear. If I have to die in a hole,
Stephen
I hope it's one
King,
out
he'd
of...
He'd be out there writing books, hey? He's out there writing fucking books.
Yeah, everyone to be
a
like
a hole full of teeth that ate
him. It's like, oh man, I really want to like sit down and I really want to write a book. Like, there's one thing. He's like, oh, like my biggest dream is to. Yeah, I always one day I really want to write a book. You know, it's been my dream since I was a boy.
Yeah.
I wish I had the time to write, but I just don't know what.
I don't have the perfect idea. You know,
so I gotta mull it over. Motherfucker, hole with teeth. Deal with it. That's just a mouth.
Dead.
Whatever.
You know, you can. He can fucking
big mouth. Guy fall in it.
Hole with teeth story. Right. Yeah. To talk about Richard Bachman. Richard Bachman has a book out that's the same story. Somehow, I've only read one half, which is the hole full of teeth story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about like a group of people that end up in an abandoned mining town somewhere in like the desert in America. And there's a god that got bless you, mm-hmm. a god that got uncovered in a mine that possesses all of the coyotes
yep.
and alters reality or some shit. And to save the day, the rocker guy goes in a hole full of teeth.
Okay.
And then the sidequel book to that mm-hmm. is about a autistic boy who gets magic powers
yes.
and turns his town into a cartoon town. And they feature the same cast, except for the magic autistic boy.
Yeah.
I think it's called The Regulators.
All right.
Anyway, like I said, Stephen King, he's out there writing books.
He's writing books.
You can write fucking anything,
you can do whatever you want.
Do you know Sleeping Beauty is being turned into not only a television series, but has been published as a comic book already?
Yeah, I read like the first issue of the comic, and I was like, this is not very good.
Hey, son, great idea.
Yeah, brilliant. Owen, my beautiful boy.
I'm going to call up some sort of movie producer.
Yeah.
I think we got a brilliant idea.
And they're like, well,
I know why The Last Man like ate shit because it went to Amazon or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that had, let me tell you, a less stupid premise.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think that was missing Cocoon.
Mm-hmm. It just this has cocoon. Yeah.
We like it.
What if women go in Cocoon?
And then what? Okay, so what happens if you open up Cocoon? Before?
The woman go crazy.
Women be crazy. Women am be I talking? Am I right?
You open up the Cocoon, right? The woman be shopping.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
dude.
Please apologize to your mother.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I don't.
But it turns out they're actually going into.
Yeah.
A different dimension called dueling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, woman realm.
Yeah.
Dueling? It's called dueling.
D-double-O.
Duel.
Yeah.
Dueling.
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 Yeah.
Dueling.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, is that kind of like a doula? Like someone who's like helps you with the... No, dueling.
Dueling.
D-O-O-L. Like drool without an R.
Yeah.
Duel.
They go to dueling.
He'd be writing
He'd
books,
just be
man.
Writing anything, dude. There's another story of his, I think another recent one, where it's about a kid who meets a really cool old man, and the old man...
Hell yeah.
He's a writer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Hell yeah. Is he really, like a, is really like a, good writer?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to
and
hear.
And he gives the kid, like, magic powers to send the kid to, like... It's called Fairy Tale. It's like
a high
fantasy Stephen King story.
Sure.
Brother, I think it's so funny to... Like, because he's an old man, obviously, and he's like, kids would think I'm so cool. It's just, it's very funny.
Bro, again, he be like writing books.
Revival, great book. Genuinely a fucking page turner. Very good. You know, Tommyknockers, insane, but awesome. You know, you just can't bat 100. That's the trick. Insomnia, probably one of the worst books I ever read.
Mm.
It's about an old man whose wife dies of cancer.
Is the old man a writer?
No. Or maybe. And then he sees little men. There's three little men.
Is this the one that the Nolan film was based on? Because I don't remember that.
No, I don't think so. There's three little men. And two of the little, and he also sees every human being. This is a full novel, by the way. Like, this is, you're dedicating max like 4 days to reading this. If you're locking in, more likely months.
Yeah.
There's three little men.
Gotcha.
And every human being has a balloon, right? That comes out the top of their head.
I got a balloon. Yeah. I don't know a balloon.
You
but
don't know
I
the balloon,
it.
But he can see it because he gets insomnia after his wife dies.
He's like, feels like frightened as a bit.
Yeah, he can see the balloons.
He sees some. So this
but
guy
the little
balloon.
Men.
Yeah.
Snip the balloons, and when they do, the people die.
Okay.
But normally the balloon is just how much long you have left to live, and the balloon eventually just gets shorter, I think, until it hits your head.
Okay. This then feels very similar to, like, Frighteners and also Dead Like Me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then...
Okay.
And then...
Little guys... wait, when you say little guys, are they like little gremlin things?
Yeah.
Or are they just like...
There's three little gremlins.
Just a guy.
They're three little... Well, they're like guys with big heads, I think, but they're short. Anyway.
Okay.
At the same time, Randall Flagg, or the Crimson King or whatever,
who's
the bad guy from the Dark Tower trilogy, is going to bomb an anti-abortion rally, I think.
Is that, like, it's played by Matthew McConaughey, or was that Idris?
In
what? The Dark Tower.
I didn't see the Dark Tower. No, that's the gunslinger. Idris played the gunslinger.
Okay.
It'll be Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey played...
It'll probably be Randall Flagg.
Randall.
Because Randall Flagg's...
Is the villain?
He's the villain across a lot of Stephen King stories.
He plays Walter Paddock.
Okay, never mind.
I don't know then.
Anyway. So when you say he's a villain, what is he?
He's like a force. He's like an evil force, but also a guy. You know, and then there's a little kid in the book, and the kid keeps drawing pictures of the main character from the Dark Tower series.
Okay.
And then the old man sort of does nothing at the end. and kind of it just becomes an ad for the Dark Tower. Like, the ending is just like, anyway, you should read the Dark Tower series to know what the fuck's going on. And you're like, well, I don't know if I want to do that, Stephen King.
Okay.
Yeah, man. Yes. Fuck insomnia, dude.
Okay.
And then the Dark Tower series, I mean, you want to read that, it's fucking...
I don't know if I do.
Quartet and the turtle and the deadlights and shit, dude.
What did you say?
Quartet? Quartet? That means a group of guys.
Okay.
It's like a Stephen King word for a group of guys.
Like it sounds like a cartel, you say.
No, it's like K-A, I think it's quartet, K-A hyphen T-T.
Quartet.
Quartet. And it's like if you get a group of guys.
It's a group of any guys?
Just like a group of guys with a goal. That's magic. A group of guys with like a magic goal is a cartel.
How many do you need?
Also, like Matthew McConaughey is playing Randall Flagg. It's just a different name for some reason. Yeah. They're like, yeah, it's a Randall Flagg alter ego.
Yeah, there's a lot of them, dude.
Revealed in the movie.
Why did they do that?
The Stand, I think, has one too.
The Stand is his first appearance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Stephen King, look, he's got some great books out there. Okay. You know, he's got some real heaters. Salem's Lot fucking rules, dude. Carrie's pretty good until the end. It's just, you know, they can't. Cujo's really good too.
Mm-hmm.
Needful Things is fine. You know, you can't bat 100 in this life.
That's fair.
I really like the short story Mrs. Todd's Shortcut. That's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Stephen King has said that the inspiration for Flagg's character came out of nowhere. That's the quote, full stop. Tell. Thank you so much.
Stephen King adaptations are interesting, which is what this is, right? Because The Shining is a classic film. Everybody loves The Shining,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Stephen King.
No, yeah, except Stephen
like
King.
The Jack Nicholson one, because Stephen King kind of hated it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they did the television movie, and he loved it. But everyone was like,
he made that, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. He hated the Kubrick one because it was not about a brilliant writer.
I hated the Here's Johnny bit.
Well, what I've heard is that the initial story is effectively a metaphor for alcoholism. That's like a big part of it is that it's, and that the Shining, Kubrick Shining, is kind of like a bit more esoteric and weirder.
Mm.
And it's got less of that kind of emotional core. And Stephen King's like, well, that's not what I wrote.
Did he hate that, like the guy blowing that other guy in the dog suit?
Probably.
I think that actually might be in the book. Okay. So he probably loved that scene.
Oh, good. You don't want to get rid of that.
You get like, what else? Like, what other great Stephen King adaptations are there? There's The Mist that has the ending that's not in the book that's, bleak as fuck, but awesome.
Yeah.
The Stand or whatever. Wasn't there like several different tele movies?
Yeah,
about
there's
that?
A
or
very
like
famous
miniseries.
TV.
Yeah, I remember that
mini-series.
In like
the '90s,
But I remember my brother watching it. And
apparently, that's pretty good.
I was wrong about The Shining as well.
Yeah.
Stephen King didn't make that one.
Oh,
but
I thought he did.
Mick Garris. I just had it in front of me and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Mick Garris did, who has directed nothing.
Yeah, nice.
Well, that's not true. He directed Critters 2, The Main Course.
Oh, damn,
wonderful
dude.
Film.
What an oeuvre.
The one with like, what's it called? They're on the snow and the guy gets an alien. He has like a
big
smile.
Yeah. What's that called? With Dudders. What's that called?
Yeah.
Dudders.
Yeah, with
Who's
Dudders, dude. Oh, Dudders is a wonderful little boy. A wonderful little autistic boy who's actually an alien from space.
What's he from?
What the fuck's it called?
There's a weird...
Dreamcatcher.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What a film.
There's a lot of Morgan Freeman in it, randomly.
Yeah, a lot of through lines that, like, there's a lot of similarities that keep popping up.
Mm.
The magical autistic boy that is often an alien.
The
Dead Zone that... Cronenberg did was sick.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Sleep, I think people quite liked.
Mm-hmm. I hate Dr. Sleep.
I've not seen it.
Dude,
I've not read the book.
I reckon
either.
You'd hate it.
Okay, interesting.
They make everything because.
Okay, so you know how we're in a constant state of chaos and fighting for our lives every single day on this godforsaken earth? Between work and everything else falling apart around me, I have not had it together enough to meal prep or plan dinner, or honestly, function like a normal human being most weeknights. Cooking something good is hard, and I deserve a modicum of joy every now and again. That's why I've turned to Omaha Steaks. My freezer is full. That's sorted. It is genuinely the one part of my life running smoothly. Real steaks, burgers, seafood, chicken, sides, all shipped to my door. So even on the nights where everything else is on fire, dinner isn't one more thing to stress about. I made the burgers the other night. Didn't even have the energy to think. Just pulled them out, threw them on the grill, and they tasted like something from an actual steakhouse. Somehow, the one corner of my life that's together is the one I didn't even have to think about. If you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the easiest way in. 20 premium steak burgers across 5 cuts. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's right, BEEF. B-E-E-F. omahasteaks.com. Promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
The movie Dr. Sleep,
yeah,
is very much like, it doesn't, it fucks with it. Like, I think if you've read The Shining, yeah, you'd probably like it a lot more, but because I've only seen The Shining,
yeah, yeah,
I was like, this makes everything stupid.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
fantasy bullshit, and not
it
just,
kind of injects like Stephen King, uh-huh, back into The Shining,
like, the
sort
fucking,
of.
The villain's a woman with a stupid hat. Oh, her whole thing is woman with hat.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Fuck
Isn't it
off.
Like old people vampires?
Yeah, it's all, it's bullshit.
The True Knot.
Yeah, people really like it, but it's shit. And yeah, there's a lot of adaptations of work by Stephen King.
Yeah, yeah, I was looking at this being like, okay, well, let's take some highlights that are crap.
Yeah.
Secret Window.
Oh, yeah.
Dog shit.
Secret Window. Johnny Depp is... Yeah. Gets a bad review and kills his wife, right?
Yeah, I think. Or Johnny, like, who keeps doing this? Okay. Oh, it's the my split personality. Yeah. Gerald's Game, apparently, it's spooky and good, maybe.
I definitely keep seeing the ending of it shared on TikTok heaps.
That's exciting.
Where the guy who has a moon face is like, I remember you.
That's, well, you know what the plot of Gerald's Game is.
Yeah, yeah, because the moon face guy is what saves her in the end, and she's like, I was just going crazy, and he kills, like, a serial killer or something. And then she finds out, oh, damn, he was real. Yeah.
Do you know what movie I reckon is pretty good that they made from a Stephen King short story? The Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good. In fact, Shawshank Redemption, The Green Mile,
Stand By Me.
Stand By Me.
A movie that I put in the same category as those, Maximum Overdrive.
Yes.
What if trucks went psycho, dude?
Firestarter.
I forgot about
Lawnmower
Firestarter.
Lawnmower Man,
classic, dude.
It.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
He wrote Lawnmower Man?
Yeah, dude. Except, do you know the plot of Stephen King's Lawnmower Man?
Does Lawnmower Man 2 go to the future and the virtual reality world?
No, this is the plot of Stephen King's Lawnmower Man.
Oh, wait. Autistic boy.
No, it's guy needs his lawn mowed, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what am I going to do? How am I going to mow my lawn? Oh, and he sees an ad for the Lawnmower Man.
Mm-hmm.
So he picks it up, calls the number, guy turns up. The guy arrives, he's kind of a weird looking guy. He doesn't have a lawnmower. And the guy, the protagonist of the story says, where's your lawnmower? He says, I don't need one. And then he eats the grass. That's the lawnmower.
Now, if I remember.
That's not what happens.
That's definitely. It's no, Pierce, what? Pierce Brosnan. Yeah. He's what like, I have almost like a Flowers for Algernon thing.
Chimp that's gone crazy.
Mm-hmm. Go in this gyroscope.
The chimp goes crazy. I can tell you that much. The movie starts with the chimp going crazy.
The chimp goes crazy because the chimp's been put into virtual reality and it breaks out and gets a gun.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
He puts him in like that gyroscope thing you'd often see in fairs that you get spun real good.
Yeah.
And then the lawnmower man, he gets thin and gross because now he's psychic.
That's good stuff, dude. It's very different from the main story.
I think what I need to do is watch every Stephen King adaptation because they're awesome.
Yeah, dude, 1408 was pretty good.
Whoa, the room's all fucked up.
The room's evil, and he thinks he's out of the room, but he's still in the room.
Right? There's like Misery. That was a pretty.
Is Misery? Oh yeah, Misery is King.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, it is.
1922. That's.
Haven't seen
it. Had a lot of rats in it.
Wow, rats is
probably the most rats per minute of any movie I've ever seen.
Damn. What's the
In the Tall Grass? Tobin!
What is in the tall grass?
Tobin!
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. You're not helping. Mm-hmm.
My in the tall grass heads know what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
okay.
Dude.
Fair enough. Fair
enough. That's a story where they go in the tall grass and there's a rock in the grass. And the guy who's the main guy from the Conjuring series, what's his name? The main character.
Patrick Wilson.
Patrick Wilson eats a baby.
Tobin!
Yeah, you shouldn't be doing that, Toby.
Yeah, dude. It's
really good. Directed by another pedophile, Bryan Singer. That's nice.
Damn,
that's
awesome, dude.
Hey, have you seen The Mangler?
No, but I've read this short story.
Oh, okay.
It's about an evil it's
evil mangler. What do you mean?
Okay, I'll read the very start.
What are you saying?
The mangler.
Yeah, an evil mangler. What is a mangler?
In Gartley's Blue Ribbon Laundry Service is a laundry press owned by Bill Gartley. Mm-hmm. The trouble starts when Gartley's niece, Sherry, accidentally cuts herself on a lever connected to the machine and splashes blood on the mangler's tread while trying to avoid being crushed by an old icebox some movers are clumsily carrying past.
Mm-hmm.
Sparks and light streams occur when both the blood and the ice box come in close contact with the mangler.
Yeah.
The mangler. What is the... I still don't really
the
know what
is
a mangler
it's like, it's is. Like a piece of laundry equipment that eats people.
Okay.
Yeah. Later, Mrs. Frawley, an elderly worker struggling to open a bottle of antacid, spills them on the moving thread.
Mm-hmm.
When she attempts to collect them, the safety shield inexplicably lifts up and traps her hand inside, followed by her entire body getting pulled into the machine, crushed and folded like a sheet.
Wow. Well, he really do be writing. You know?
It's crazy looking through this and seeing the amount of stuff that has been adapted.
I like that the one that I'm very the short synopsis of that was just a laundry owner's employee falls victim to an ironing machine with a mind of its own. I don't know.
It's truly a terrible short story.
You could.
It's crazy that they pitched that to adapt.
It's directed by Tobe Hooper, who's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre guy.
Damn.
And stars Robert Englund. Robert, is that his name? Yeah, Englund. Englund.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Freddy?
Freddy.
Yeah. They did one. He did one based on this short story, "Quit His Ink." That's a pretty good short story. That's where a guy can't quit smoking, and then there's this friend of his, and he's like, "Man, I got the perfect this place. Quit His Ink. They will stop you smoking." And he's like, "I'm desperate." And then he signs up, and they're like, "You accept this, whatever the consequences are. We'll stop you smoking, but you just got to accept the consequences." And he's like, "Okay." And they're like, "If you keep smoking, we'll kill your wife." And then. I think he's like, "But I need a cigarette so bad." I think they chop off her fingers and he's like, "Okay, I gotta stop.
Okay, maybe I don't need a cigarette."
Dolan's Cadillac, they turned into a short story.
There's a Tamil version of Misery that came out in 2003, and I reckon that would be delightful to
watch. Yeah, dude. Oh, yeah, The Monkey. That came out recently as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
What if there was a wind-up monkey that when you wound it up, it killed you?
Yeah.
Or killed someone?
The Langoliers? Where the Langoliers?
You're on your own there.
The Langoliers.
I think I've heard of this.
Okay.
Yes.
Here's the pitch.
Please
and
tell me more.
Genuinely, I adore that this episode's just explaining Stephen King
because
they're bonkers. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Bunch of people are on a plane, right?
Yep.
And they land in an airport, but no one's there. It's abandoned and everything's still and strange.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know where they are? Back in time, but where everything's already happened. So they're in the past, but like everyone's already
left. The past is the future?
No, everybody's already left the past, but they've gone back there.
Mm.
And then...
Because the past no longer... Like,
these things...
They've gone back to the past as in like the way that the past...
Because if you imagine the past as a place that is constant,
the past
is
the past as a place, not the past as a concept. As in, like, I'm thinking back to the past.
Yeah, I'm not going back to the future. I'm going back to the past. But because the past exists in, like, a fluid in time, everyone that existed, well, no one's there anymore because everyone's in the now.
Yeah. And then
and my now is the past.
And the Langoliers are
they're
eyeballs
like,
with teeth that
and they
eat
just,
the past.
And they eat the space, man. They eat just... What a film, dude.
When did that come out?
That came out the 90s, I think. Langoliers is like a TV movie. 1995.
Great film.
Yeah, dude.
Great.
It's really
great
good.
Bit of work.
It's really good stuff.
Yeah, like, well, you got to think, you know. What happens to the past once we're no longer there?
I bet eyeballs eat it.
I bet eyeballs eat it because they're hungry. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. You know,
it's like it's really cool.
You think go back to the past while I'm going to like time travel? No, you're going to get gobbled by the Langoliers.
No, sir. The eyeballs eat the past.
Okay, yeah. What do we think about the plot of Thinner?
Yeah, oh, that's a good one too, dude.
Film,
that's another Bachman book. Yeah.
No, what about?
Yeah, bro.
A beast lawyer being like, I just can't stop eating. Oh no, a Native American has kissed me. Yeah. Now I'm going to lose so much weight. Oh no, I keep losing weight.
Did you know that there's a more recent Stephen King story that has a very similar premise? But it's not a man keeps getting thinner. It's a man keeps getting lighter. And then he floats away.
That's awesome.
What the
fuck? It's apparently...
Wait, okay, balloons are also apparently very like, you know, another thing he just keeps going back to.
And apparently...
Why does he love... Just out of curiosity. Yeah. Sorry, just, I know you've just uncovered something incredible, JD. But I'm like, he seems to just really love like, you know, magical autistic people.
Mm-hmm.
Balloons?
Yes, dude. Balloons are very significant to Stephen King for reasons beyond my understanding.
Those two things keep popping up more than you'd think.
Oh, damn. They're making a TV show of his X-Men. He has a novel called The Institute. That's like, what if Stephen King did the X-Men? Like,
okay.
Yeah.
I bet it's great.
I've heard
how
it's,
many...
I've heard the most embarrassing thing about it is that... Because it was the book came out in like...
Is the professor character? Is he an old man who is a writer?
Well...
That's a third thing.
I'm not sure. What I do know is that the book came out in 2019 and it involves a lot of... And all of the kids are like teenagers.
Yeah.
And it involves a lot of Stephen King trying to write teenagers and being an 80-year-old man.
Okay.
Where they're like, that's legit, dude. Like, it's apparently very embarrassing. But...
So, the Langoliers was directed by Tom Holland, not the actor, obviously.
That would be he would have been like a
baby.
He would have been less than calm.
Yes.
The Langoliers also goes for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it also the director of the Langoliers directed Thinner. But also, he's the director of the writer and director of Fright Night.
What the fuck?
He made Fright Night.
Dude.
Huh. Yeah. He also wrote Psycho 2.
Huh. That's awesome, dude. Children of the Corn? It's another classic Stephen King adaptation.
Also
That's
the
a pretty good short story.
The director of Thinner also directed and wrote Child's Play. You know, the first Chucky movie.
That's crazy, dude.
What dude, everything's so
doll
connected.
Was, you know, alive evil. And going to kill you.
I got to watch Thinner.
Yeah. Bro.
The lawyer, you know, gets cursed because he runs someone over whilst getting sucked off.
Did you know that there was an Indian horror thriller television series with 52 episodes called Whoa that's based on it?
Whoa,
dude. That's awesome.
52 episodes.
There's 50. Whoa is a 52 episode Indian horror thriller television series.
W-O-H.
Dude, it's a Hindi language TV show adaptation of Stephen King's epic horror novel, It. And I know I said TV show, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really cool, dude.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. There's a lot of good stuff here, dude.
So I guess Running Man. I like Glenn Powell.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a good face.
I think it looks fun.
It looks fun.
Yeah.
Like I remember, you know, thinking back on it, I did like Scott Pilgrim. Like the action scenes were quite you know, unique and good.
Mm-hmm.
Edgar Wright doesn't know how to finish movies, but he has only made two movies that I would say are bad.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, he doesn't know how to finish movie. Stephen King doesn't know how to end a book.
Yeah.
Together at Last.
Exactly. Yeah, what's the ending of this going to even look
faithful
like?
Faithful adaptation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So what's the end of Running Man, Dust Novel?
Everyone dies.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Okay.
There's an explosion that kills both the main character and the main bad guy.
Yeah, but does...
And
what
then
about
there's
his,
like a voiceover
about
that goes,
kid and his...
damn, that is the Running Man or whatever.
Okay.
So which what, I don't think... Okay. Edgar Wright is not going to kill...
No. Glenn Powell.
Well, okay.
I reckon they'll do the same thing. My prediction, and this is cheating because I do know the ending of the book, but I reckon they're going to do that ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then there'll be a voiceover, and then it'll cut to another thing. And you realize that somehow...
Glenn Powell survived.
Yeah.
Well, everything's okay.
I reckon.
And then
he's not only survived, but he got that 30 days and he gets that Billy anyway.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And his kid doesn't have cancer anymore.
Yeah. His kid's battle.
It'll be the happiest ending of any movie you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, dude. I reckon it's going to be like...
and he's got another
name?
Kid now, and that kid's super healthy.
Yeah. Or the old kid gone, new kid.
He's way better.
Twice as bad.
Yeah.
Made of metal.
He's got a Metal Mario son. Metal Mario son or... Cat Peach Daughter, dude? That's the question.
Well, Rose Gold Peach Daughter, is that what you're going
yeah,
for?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. Is it Josh Brolin? That's the villain of this?
Yeah.
The CEO? Yeah, so I reckon we're going to get in a kind of similar, like, in True Lies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Where, like, he's like, you're fired, and he shoots in, like, a missile, and the villain's on the missile. Mm. I reckon it's going to be something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even they're going to say, he's like, you know, you're fired. No, this is like, this TV show is axed.
Oh,
you know,
damn. Like, chop his head off with an axe.
And get an axe there, or, like, you know, hit the button, whatever.
Yeah.
And blows him up. And then you're going to get, like, almost in 3D vision, Josh Brolin being like right in that, like, you know, explosion wave towards us. But yeah, Glenn Powell's
awesome,
character will survive.
I think.
Because, you know, for Running Man 2,
well, exactly.
The walking guy.
Yeah, yeah,
fuck,
yeah.
Right? The long, the long walk comes out running before Man Running Man.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
I'm sorry,
it's
the long walk to Running Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's what I reckon will be the ending.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow he'll be like, he'll, you know, fought his way into the Josh Brolin's offices or whatever, and he'll be like, he'll have he'll kill Josh Brolin, or he'll be about to kill Josh Brolin, and he'll be like, and we'll dismantle the Running Man forever. It's bad. It's corrupt. But then every person will be like, but we love the Running Man.
Yeah.
It's entertaining.
What are you doing?
We love it. And he'll be like, oh, no. And then somehow they're like,
oh, no.
It'll be like this. It'll be like the camera or whatever, and he'll be like, oh, you know, he's been shot, explodes, whatever. Everyone thinks he's dead. Oh, no, it's not 30 days. He doesn't get, he's Billy. And everyone's like, ah, good, you know, valiant effort. He made it to like 29 days. Say,
no one's ever done shit. Yeah. So that's actually awesome.
Yeah. Like, that was great. But then, he's alive and he sneaks his way up to the CEO, whatever. And then he's about to, like, you know, do the whole like bullshit thing, you know, gonna blow it up, kill the guy, whatever. And he's about to do it. And then it's like, you know, it's 11:59.
Yeah.
Bang, it's midnight. Fucko, you got a Billy.
Yeah.
And so you're like, but if he blows us up, you don't get a Billy.
You
so
won't
what
win
do you
the
want?
Money.
You want that Billy, save your daughter, or you want to blow the system up? You're going to take the Billy.
You're going to take the Billy, dude. What are you going to do?
And then maybe the movie ends.
Yeah.
And then it's left up to the audience to be like,
well, I think,
did he do it? Did he destroy
the
system?
It's left for me to think
or
about.
Did he just be like, well, hey, fuck you, got mine.
$1 billion helped me out quite
a
bit.
Dollars.
It does
Let's
seem
make
kind
us
of
aside.
Funny
and
that
then
he's
there'll be an epilogue which answers the question.
Well, I think the
almost
epilogue,
immediately.
My swing for the fence for the epilogue is that it's going to show Josh Brolin. It'll be like Josh Brolin in the same position Glenn Powell is, you know? And then it'll be like, and your time starts now. Cut to credits.
Well, I mean, that would be, because in both the original book and the original movie, Josh Brolin's character fucking dies.
Yeah.
Dies big time.
Yeah, yeah.
In the original movie, that character does get killed on The Running Man, though.
Okay.
So the crowd's like, fuck yeah!
Yeah.
The fucking guy's dead!
Yeah, it's like, not only can, like, regular folks or whatever get Running Man, the CEO of The Running Man can get Running Man.
Yeah.
Anyone can get Running Man,
if he can get Running Man, it's on for anybody.
Yeah, it's on for young and old.
The difference is, though, like, in this, he's opted into Running Man.
Yeah, that's true.
So it does feel, it's like, I don't know how they're going to make the CEOs. I mean, it's evil in the sense of, like, you shouldn't have a TV show about murdering people.
Yeah.
Is he opting in for The Running Man?
Yeah, to get $1 billion.
I thought it was more like, you know,
he's out of, I think it's he's out of options. Yeah.
And, like, we need a Running Man, so you could do it.
I'll tell you what, I'll say this about The Running Man, is I think the game showification of it in this movie feels like it reflects, like, it feels very American in a way the Hunger Games never did.
Yeah.
Do you think that's fair to say?
I will agree with you. I think it is fair to say. Yes, Jackson.
I think he's done a good job of making it feel extremely American.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like it doesn't, you know, like the Hunger Games, you're right. It just didn't quite hit that same itch.
Yeah.
And I would like say Idiocracy, that kind of stuff, where it's a bit too much and, like, you know, on the nose. This feels like,
this feels kind of perfect in that you're like, yeah,
for
man.
The trailer?
They would do that.
Yeah, that's, brother, that's so America.
Yeah, that's so America.
That feel
dude.
America, yeah.
Running Man, that's so America.
Running Man.
That's what they should have called it, dude.
British?
Yeah. Well, he gets it.
He gets it. He understands.
As an Australian man, I'll say Edgar Wright, a British man, gets America.
He get it. He do be making film.
He do be making movies, dude. He do be making movies.
Yeah.
What really, Stephen King, should they adapt next, do you reckon? Should they adapt that one where a finger comes out the drain and he has to fight it? The finger gets really long.
A finger comes out the drain and he has to fight it?
Yeah, one day a man goes to his sink while he's watching Jeopardy. He sees a finger poking out of the drain, and he's like, that's peculiar. And
then I don't remember leaving my long finger there. Yeah.
And then the finger keeps growing and growing and growing, and he's like, how am I going to fight this finger?
And then what happens to the finger?
Well, he finally destroys it. He has a big fight with it. Mm-hmm. And then he's like,
how do you fight a finger?
He pours like Drano down there, and then
does the finger hate that?
Yeah, the finger tries to poke him or whatever. And he chops it with a knife, and he finally kills it. And then the short story ends with him being like, because he's still hearing noises in his pipes. And John, he reflected on the fact that, well, a hand typically has five fingers and the typical body has two hands.
I mean,
there's a lot of fingers about to come out his drains, I guess.
Sure, I guess. But you also there's more to a guy than just his fingers.
Yeah, well, I guess.
They're like, hey, you know what's also scary? A guy.
Yeah, dude. But what if fingers came out of your drains and attacked you?
But like,
it's a pretty good story, honestly. I quite liked it.
But like, you should check out the television series Monsters, which is an American anthology series, which in the finale.
Mm-hmm.
The guy gets fingered?
Well, no, they just adapt that story. Oh, last episode of the series is an adaptation of that short story.
They should bring back Creepshow. That had a lot of Stephen King adaptations. Mm-hmm. Bring it back, dude. They have that story, which Stephen King acts in, where I think he becomes a plant.
Little Shop of Horrors?
No, it's like he gets a plant fungus on him.
Okay. I just think, because if the short story, sorry to go back to finger fights.
Yeah, please.
Mm-hmm. It's just, if you got you fought a finger, and you're like, damn. Well, usually a guy has four fingers and a thumb. And he's like, I had a couple of hands. But then you're like, yeah, but that's a guy. And a guy tends not to have a long finger that goes through a drain.
Yeah,
it could be anything.
Yeah, it's well, I think that's your imagination's meant to conjure what could be living in his drain.
I understand that.
Sticking their fingers out
of
sinks.
I get that. But you're like, if your imagination is so restricted to a man with four fingers and two thumbs, I'm like, what if it's just like, it's just all fingers
well,
like 100 fingers. That's a could
be. Yeah, yeah, you never know.
It just feels a little silly to be like, oh no, the hands are coming. You know, it just feels like, you're stopping like, you're doing one step, one thought, and you're like, yeah,
I guess.
Really, you need to do two thoughts.
Well, I guess maybe it's scary to imagine what kind of a man has a finger that's like 8 meters long.
Yeah,
I guess.
What kind of a man that lives in my drain? Those are, I think, my favorite Stephen King short stories, where it's just like, what if this insane thing? There's another really good one called Chattering Teeth, where a guy buys a novelty store, a pair of those chatter, and he's like a traveling salesman. He's just driving through the desert, and he picks up a hitchhiker, and the hitchhiker is like, is a serial killer.
Yes.
And then he's saved by the chattering teeth.
How does the?
I can't remember really, but I remember it being.
Is that
very
the Hokan Thud story, or is that just a?
That's
made
like an
up?
Old urban legend. Yeah. Stephen fucking King.
Stephen fucking King. Anyway, have we got some emails there, Jackson?
Yeah, let's jump to the emails, baby.
Speaking about people who are writing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, people be writing emails to Thumb Cramps.
Well, while you look up emails to Thumb Cramps.
You got to send it to the
BS boys
at
pod@gmail.com.
Well, in fear of crossing over too much with the podcast you accidentally said the name of there, we actually got an email in the thumbcrampspod@gmail.com inbox that was meant for the basis speculation.
People
inbox.
Are going crazy, dude.
Mm-hmm. So this is from a writer that doesn't want the name included.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
It was a rainy.
He's using a pseudonym.
A
non de plume. Let's call him Richmond Bachman.
Richmond Bachman.
Richmond Bachman.
Yeah, he is.
Was a rainy Saturday, and I didn't have shit to do. So when I saw the bathroom looking a little bit dirty, it was the perfect time to clean up.
Oh, damn.
I also thought that it was the perfect time to have a hot shower.
Okay.
I inadvertently walked into the Jackson scenario. Please tell him that he is so fucking wrong. I've never felt more disgusting than when I was scrubbing the walls butt naked with my balls exposed to the elements.
You must embrace it, my friend.
Thank you.
Richmond Bachman, you must embrace it.
Richmond Bachman, thank you for validating us once again. Like the lived experience of Jackson being terrible.
I got my haters out there, dude. I'll say it. This is from KJ. Hello from the Northern Hemisphere, Sweden. This is a Swedish fan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Before we knew what kind of a garbage human Johnny Depp is. But every following one has been worse than the previous. How much better would the franchise have fared with a different actor portraying Jack Sparrow? Or wouldn't there have been a franchise without Johnny Depp?
Well, there wouldn't have been a franchise without Johnny Depp.
Absolutely not. The first movie would have tanked horrendously.
I don't know who else you could have put in that role to do that.
Yeah.
At that moment in time. Jim Carrey.
No.
I can't imagine.
Then you get the later in the...
Yeah.
I can't really imagine Jim Carrey on a boat.
No, he doesn't
have a boat face.
No.
What you've got to understand... Cars on often. About Pirates of the Caribbean.
I can't even train. No, I can see him on a plane.
Oh, yes. True.
I just can't imagine. Yeah. He does not, he could not suit. Yeah.
No. He's, imagine. Can't put him on a boat.
Was it? Is it when Jake Gyllenhaal keeps going into a guy?
Oh, yeah.
Imagine Jim Carrey in that. I just can't do it.
You can't
You're
do
talking
it.
Talking about Source Code.
Yeah, that's the one. You. Yeah. He's.
I feel like you hate that movie,
I like that movie. I like that movie. It's good. It's just nice because he keeps ruining a guy. I love the end. He just took over a guy's
life. He steals a man.
It's very funny.
That's crazy, dude.
What a film.
Yeah, that's awesome. That man, well, you know what? Are you stealing a life if you're simply taking one that shouldn't exist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, no.
Dude. Yeah.
I guess he saved the life of everyone except for...
Yeah. Mm. You can, if you save... 100 people.
Well, yeah, he just steals one life. Yeah,
exactly.
He just does the trolley problem.
Yeah, exactly. And I like it as well, because in that universe or whatever, that guy he takes over, he's like maybe has a wife and family, but also he's in love with someone like the other person. So it's like, good. Like that, the person's like loved ones are going to be like, what happened?
Yeah,
we don't know you anymore.
You just had a crazy... I guess the trauma of nearly crashing the train changed you significantly. KJ goes on to say, and in the topic of bathroom cleaning, I'm usually on Team Joel, sometimes one, sometimes the other.
Yes.
But in this fight, I have a hard time waving that flag. What are you doing in the bathtub while cleaning it? My body stays on the outside, and only my gloved hands go inside with the chemicals. Thank you all at Sans Pants for your good work and keeping my podcast straight.
So your naked body is just like slapping up against the bathtub,
humping
the tiles. I hate this even more.
It sounds like they're on your side.
They're on our side. It's just they are even further away from us.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. I can't explain it.
Well, are they nude with their...
Is this an all... Nude.
Old nude review slash cleaning the tub.
I don't know. I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I don't know who else could have pulled off what Depp did.
Yeah. Unfortunately, because Johnny Depp's whole thing, and it's part of his downfall, is he became Jack Sparrow in real life. And you can't be that guy in real life.
No, it wrecked
the movies because it becomes too much.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they remove any depth that character has. More like Johnny, no depth.
Yeah, nice, dude. Got him.
Got him. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Because what would that come out? That was like 2003?
Three, I think. Yeah.
Like, who else was kind of in that like era?
Keanu Reeves.
No. He was a joke at that point.
Yeah. I don't really think there is anybody.
Yeah, like Johnny Depp.
Ethan Hawke would have nailed that role.
Ethan Hawke's making Before Sunset.
That would destroy his career.
Yeah.
Imagine him trying to be a drunken pirate. You'd be like, I need to quit. I'm sorry, Jerry.
Yeah.
Jerry Bruckheimer. Is that who's directing?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't direct it.
He produced it. I'm sorry. You need to fire me.
I am with this.
I think you need someone like Johnny Depp where like, it needs to be that kind of guy.
Yeah, you know? The worst kind of guy.
Yeah, like in a way it does. It needs to be someone who thinks so highly of themselves and is kind of used to playing kind of, I don't know. It needed to be a Johnny Depp type.
Okay, we've already mentioned them in this today's episode. Mm. James Franco.
Too young.
And James Franco never takes anything seriously.
Okay.
Even in roles where he's pretty good, he's got this kind of expression like it's all kind of a funny joke.
Like, yeah, age him up a little to be like, you know, when he was doing the Disaster Artist or whatever.
Mm.
If like that.
I just don't, and I don't know if this is just a me thing, but James Franco, I never believe. James Franco kind of has the same thing that
like Jim Carrey
Dwayne The Rock Johnson has.
Well, you can't imagine him on a boat.
Yeah. No, where
and he's
they
never
don't,
seen a phone.
They don't they don't really seem like they're actually ever acting.
Yeah.
There's like a little bit too much of themselves still outside the role. And James Franco has always had that for me, and same with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
They have this vibe
like they're pretending to act.
Gotcha.
So I just don't think, and I think for a character like Jack Sparrow. You need to commit to being sort of embarrassing so much that it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you kind of want someone who's like good with the pratfalls, good with that sort of like physical comedy. Yeah.
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
Like maybe a young Jim Carrey. But yeah. Then again, yeah. Can't really imagine him on a boat.
I just, yeah, that's the one downfall there.
Yeah.
This next one is from Israel. Recently, I was on a plane and noticed the man sitting in front of me was watching Madam Web. Intrigued, as I have not seen it, I watched it
he watched it basically on that
on
guy's
someone else's
screen.
Phone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he had headphones on, so
they watched it just on the phone.
But then he did
something strange. The title of this email is Strange Plane Film Experience. He stopped Madam Web started watching The Day After Tomorrow, but kept fast-forwarding the movie to the disaster scenes. After maybe 20 minutes of that, he started watching J.J. Abrams' Star Trek, but that started at the final 30 minutes of the movie. I've never seen someone watch movies in such a baffling way, and I knew I had to tell the boys. So if you were to shuffle through films like this, what would they be and why? Thanks, guys, for all the laughs and brain rot that it has caused me, Israel.
I know people that, like, skip through dialogue scenes of action movies because it's boring.
Yeah, I had a friend like that growing up. And I was like, this is not a good way to watch movies.
Yeah, I think people are just out there being unwell. Yeah. And I think that that's like the thing.
Yeah.
Like, to engage in movies, like, it's okay to not like movies. And I think that we're in a situation where people think they like movies, but they don't like
they
movies.
Don't like movies. No.
Well, I remember this friend, I think it was The Matrix. And I was like, oh, great, we'll sit down and watch The Matrix. And then he immediately fast forwarded. And I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I just want to go to the action scenes. And I was like, oh, that.
What?
And he was so like affronted
that you wanted
that
to watch
I was like, well, I want to watch
the movie.
And he's like, yeah, but the rest is just boring. It's just talking. And I was like, I get nothing out of just action for actions. I don't know these people. Like, I don't care that Neo is shooting this guy because who is anyone?
Like, you know, I think the internet is a really good thing in that it has opened people's eyes to how people live sometimes.
Yeah.
It's terrible. But like, it's also, you know, interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I get, you know, Jack, me and you share this, a kind of fascination with this idea of like seeing what's in someone's fridge.
Yeah.
It's deeply fascinating. So I love it so much. Yeah. It's very interesting. You can tell so much about like someone's, what they have and where.
Yeah.
Right? Me and you share that. You like, JD,
don't care.
You don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
And apocalypse happens.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm more likely to look at their DVDs.
Oh, well, fair enough. Fair enough.
And so you, when you're online, like enough or a lot, you end up finding out, like, you know, for example, it's like the people who are like, I am not wiping my ass because that's gay.
Yeah.
I am not that, so I don't do that. Or it's like, I'm always done in one wipe, and they're never done in one wipe.
No, you can't be done in one wipe. What do you have, a superhuman asshole?
And you're like, going to fight for your life.
Yes. Yeah.
And then it's like, surely that doesn't exist. Surely that's just a lie that someone typed and
someone's
then
doing it for
enter,
clicks
right?
or whatever.
Haha, very funny.
But no,
but then
they're out here.
They're out there doing that.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't understand how you live like that.
Yeah.
And really? Then when you're like, oh, yeah, how do you engage with the film? And I'm like, yeah, you sit down and you watch it.
Yeah.
And I assume that's how people watch these
films.
Wrong.
Well, I think
people are now like, okay, I'm either going to phone watch.
Yeah.
Look, and I'll be guilty of that too, especially if it's talking to me, you know, it doesn't grab me. And now every, you know, producer is like, yeah, you got
to
be so, you know, tell everyone what's happening.
You need to make it accessible for the phone
because
people.
Everyone is not watching these things. What the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
That's okay. We've wrecked movies. And that's
100%.
What I think is
and
crazy.
Then, yeah, the fast forwarding is more insane. And it's like, media literacy, fucking dead.
But
anyway,
this guy, my friend, right?
Yeah.
What's crazy is that the internet was waiting for him.
Yeah.
That's how people consume content these days.
Yeah.
He needs, you know, when you're scrolling through Instagram or TikTok, and it'll be like the action clip from the movie, and it'll have like 70,000, 100,000, 200,000 likes.
Mm-hmm.
My friend, that's what he's wanted his whole life.
Also, I reckon that
that's
person on
beautiful.
The plane is probably, and... You know, like, streaming wrecked music before it wrecked movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, listening to an album from start to finish, although it's back now, thank you, Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
But people would just be like, I don't know, greatest hits, that's all you need.
Mm.
What that guy on the plane was doing was just the greatest hits of movies.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, look, Day After Tomorrow, not a great movie, but the action scenes are pretty good.
That's true. I like, to me, the only way I can kind of comprehend that is like if I'd seen that film before.
Yeah, which this
like,
guy might have.
That's the only thing I could like comprehend. But, like, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, JD, you're also guilty of this by, like, consuming certain media only in GIFs and being true. Like, that's enough. That's all I need.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say I've seen it.
Mm.
No, but you have.
No, but I have seen it, or no, I have.
You've said those words.
Yeah, I think if you go back and listen to the classic Plumbing the Death Star episode, an iconic ep, How Would You Take Down the Seven? I believe the direct quote is, I've seen it. I'm Joel Dusha, and I've seen the boys.
I feel like that was probably me joking.
Yeah, I believe it probably was for season.
If someone asks if I've seen the boys, yeah. I say no, because I haven't seen the boys. If someone asks if I like the boys, I say no, because I've seen enough of the boys to know that currently I do not like the boys.
Yeah.
I've seen more than just GIFs of the boys. I have seen full episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, you're consuming not just the boys, but other things.
Well, yeah, that's
like, it's a problem there of like, well, I don't need to watch it. Yeah. I don't need to see this anymore because I've seen it in GIFs.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that's not really how you should be consuming media if you want to engage in that media. Mm. But then also at the same time, like, well, whatever. You do you, boo. So
yeah, absolutely.
You want to listen to like
Base of Speculation?
Plumbing the Death Star, like, you want to smash that 30-second skip forward like 16 times and see where they end up?
Yeah.
And that's how you love to consume
that's
that.
That's a great way to consume our podcast. Right. Just jump right in the middle.
Just go, well,
you don't
knows?
Need context, dude.
Yeah.
And then finally, that's this is insane. From Will.
Insane.
Hi, BS boys. I've seen people online say Michael Cera is a perfect fit for a Wes Anderson film.
Oh.
I don't know what this means.
Okay.
Am I wrong to think they are not a good fit? Thank you, Will.
Well, speaking of Michael Cera, he's going to be Running Man.
He is in Running Man.
Yeah. True.
Also, I'm pretty sure you're too late to try and stop him from being.
He's in the Phoenician scheme.
I
and
guess
he's pretty good in it. Yeah.
I guess he's
odd and peculiar.
Is this still maybe this is an outdated phrase?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I am old now.
Yeah.
Twee.
Yes.
Is he a bit twee? But and I guess also is also a bit the director.
I think it's
he makes kind of twee films.
Yeah, I think it's this. I mean, like, I'm a big Wes head.
Yeah.
And I think people have this conception that his movies, I don't even think they are twee.
I don't think they are either.
I think that's like, but I get that that is
you
the,
know what
like,
I mean?
That's the,
like,
yeah,
the
yeah,
vibe,
yeah.
Okay, maybe the vibe he gives off is a bit twee.
Mm.
And then also, Michael Cera is also a bit twee. Because again, everyone thinks he's George Michael from Arrested Development.
I think there's a really weird thing happening there where people who don't watch a lot of Wes Anderson movies are like, people who do are like,
they've seen TikToks being like, Wes Anderson mode.
Yeah, they're like, they're like these twee, quirky kind of hollow movies, but actually they have like
this
a greater.
This is so Wes Anderson coded, but most of the Wes Anderson movies are life is horrible.
Yeah, and absolutely.
I have a trench where my soul was meant to be.
Yeah. I can't. Yeah, exactly.
Like that whole thing of like if this was the whole TikTok. Mm. Filter thing or the thing they are directed by. Didn't he Wes Anderson be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
This is horrible. You people are horrible. Stop doing this.
Yeah.
You do not understand anything I'm
absolutely.
Doing. You fuckwits.
Absolutely.
It's like people being like, yeah, I remember watching Royal Tenenbaums. What a very funny, silly movie.
Yeah, dude.
No, watch it. Watch it, you dumb fuck.
I think people
it's
just
been a
have...
tough year, Dad. It's been a rough year, Dad.
Yeah. Oh, dude, every Wes Anderson movie has that like, oh, I think I still got some healing to do.
Yeah.
Dude.
All of Asteroid City.
Every second
every
of Asteroid City.
Moment.
What's the great one from the Phoenician scheme?
I don't know. I haven't seen
it. Fuck.
Mm.
You should wreck it for us right now.
Yeah, please
anyway,
do.
Tell me.
There's a great line.
Come on. Wreck it.
You mentioned it on your, if you really need it.
Yeah.
Your Letterboxd reviews
gap,
it.
I forget what it is. Mm. It's good.
Okay.
Anyway. And then I think people have this conception that Michael Cera is the same. I think you're right. But then what's crazy is that because of that, it does work very well.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't work for the reason people think it would.
I remember,
but it does work.
Listening or watching a interview with, was it on a Smodcast, like Kevin Smith and Edgar Wright, like talking about Michael Cera and being cast in Scott Pilgrim, and like they were doing the whole like interview circuits, like, you know, like going on radio, going on this, going on whatever. And Edgar Wright was like, yeah, it was very frustrating because no one could separate Michael Cera from George Michael.
The
character. And they just had like their little bits that they wanted to that morning zoo radio to be like, they really just wanted to get there and press the button so they could get the soundbite or whatever.
That's so funny.
And it was just like, maybe it wasn't the best like casting because of that, because everyone was like so married to this idea of this actor was going to portray, and like, and that maybe you know, did some problems with like say the box office or whatever that is. But like, yeah, it's, I don't know. It's very fascinating to think that people can't just.
Oh, and I think
I'll cover the gap.
Cover the gap. Fuck, man, what a good movie. A lot of people said it was very cold. And I think it is.
Wes
but
Anderson
I think,
movies are cold.
Yeah, well, but this one's cold. Particularly cold.
Rushmore's pretty cold.
Yeah. But anyway,
Life Aquatic.
Cold.
Yeah. Life Aquatic, that's the only Wes movie that doesn't quite do it for me. Yeah.
No C because it's a funny little comedy. Ha ha ha. You wear little shorts.
It is sad.
The B team.
Yeah. There's that bit where he's like, do you reckon he remembers me when they find the shark that ate his best friend?
Yeah.
That's a pretty emotional
no,
scene.
No. See, comedy, little shorts.
Yeah.
Defoe.
I think people have funny, just ha-ha. Seen. Here's what I think happens. I think a lot of people saw the Fantastic Mr. Fox.
No, but even then, Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Fox
Fantastic
is
Mr.
Like,
Fox is that scene where he's like, I think I need this thing where people need to love me. But if they don't, like, I want to kill myself, basically.
No, they saw a still and they're wearing little funny things.
Yeah.
And they're
they
very
do funny
colorful.
Dances, dude. Ha-ha-ha.
Because what else is? Because also like fucking the Grand Budapest Hotel.
The Grand Budapest Hotel is the saddest ending of all time.
That character gets shot and dies
by the fucking
Nazis.
More or less.
Willem Dafoe does a little funny accent.
Yeah, dude, it's silly.
He's a silly guy. Does skiing.
Dude, it's so funny.
He's funny. Ha ha ha.
Like I don't know.
Tweet.
I don't know a Wes Anderson movie that is what people
think it is.
Like,
okay, are we struggling with the concept that people have gone on the internet and haven't actually seen
a
movie?
I'm assuming. Yeah. And if they have seen the movies, they've not digested.
That's what I mean. It's like, it's the vibe versus, like, it's the vibe of George Michael being also, like, you know, vibe of a Wes Anderson film, right?
And it's also really funny because Michael Cera's character in The Phoenician Scheme is not, like, really a Michael Cera character. Mm. It's not... Yeah, like I don't know, man. I don't know. It's crazy,
know,
but
man.
He works. I think he'll probably be added to
he's like
Wes is stable. Yeah. Of actors.
That's good.
God, Wes is good, dude.
Yeah.
Darjeeling Limited. Fuck.
Great film.
Love that movie.
Right.
That's the one that doesn't connect with me.
Really? That's so interesting.
I said that I've been told to watch it again when my dad dies.
Yeah.
So I'm still waiting. But.
Brother, I saw that movie about 4 times and then I turned 30 and watched it and was like,
I haven't seen it since I've been 30 either.
Yeah, dude. It's worth watching.
I need to
again.
Rewatch that and Life Aquatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to try.
Bottle Rocket isn't as good as his other movies, but has an incredible ending.
I've never seen Bottle Rocket.
It has like, it's just got 2 lines right towards the end that I just think about every now and then. I'm like, damn, that's fucked.
Yeah, fuck. Moonrise Kingdom's really good too.
Sorry, I was just, yes, but I was also thinking of like, yeah, what is the problem here? It's aesthetic, right? They're not really watching it. They're just looking at it. And it's not just a still image. They're just kind of doing maybe a phone watch, for example. But again, the aesthetic, because again, the thing that is like, you know, either mocked slash often talked about slash parodied is just the aesthetic.
Absolutely.
And there's no soul
content.
There.
Yeah.
It's just the aesthetic. And I guess the aesthetic kind of also looks at George Michael from Arrested Development. And that would.
And I think as well, I think what happens to a lot of people is that they, and I think this is just like, I guess a media literacy thing, but you look at an aesthetic and like, you know, people say like all art is political. Mm-hmm. And when people hear that, they think all art is like about the politics, but that's not what it means. It just means all art is made in a time by a person. So by its very nature, it's going to be political.
Nature,
so when
political.
You watch something like, say, BVS, you're going to be like, well, it's relevant that it looks like this because that's a reflection of the time it was made, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And people don't see that. People don't get that. They don't see. And I think the same thing happens with if people see a Wes Anderson movie and they go, oh, it's got a quirky, weird aesthetic. And they never go, why?
Yeah.
They're just like, that's just what Wes does. Whereas Asteroid City, they're like, the kind of like weird fake nature of it is like deeply, deeply intentional. But when people see that, they just go,
ah, what
classic
a quirky
Wes.
Thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, is there anything quirky about fucking, is it Luke Wilson? Yeah. Trying to slit his own throat in the Royal Tenenbaums?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's just a tennis player.
Yeah.
I'm going to die tomorrow.
Tee hee hee.
Fuck, dude.
Tee hee.
Wes Anderson. He make it a good movie.
He does make
and
a good
And Stephen
movie.
King, he write a funny book.
His book is so funny.
He's so funny.
Hey, he be out there,
he
writing,
be out there writing
funny.
Anything, you know?
He'll write anything.
He will write anything.
Actually, you know what? I've just looking at Wes's filmography.
Yeah.
French Dispatch is the one that lands the least for me.
Yeah, but see, I watched French Dispatch after watching 4 other Wes movies on the plane, and I think maybe I out-Wes'd myself.
Yeah.
like over-Wes'd a bit. So I I think I need to go back and give it another
crack.
Maybe
I'll watch them all in chronological order and then have exactly the same problems of like, the movies that didn't land still don't land. Yeah, oh, it's like, because I watched them 10th.
You're like, yeah, man, yeah. The Phoenician scheme, I don't know.
I don't know. I watched 15 Wes movies in a row, and for some reason it didn't quite...
Yeah, it didn't quite hit me like the way it should. Yeah, man. Well, on that note, I've been Jackson Bailey.
I've been Joel Zammit.
And I've been Joel Dusha. The Running Man. Hope he gets there.
Hope he gets there, dude.
And this has been another episode of Baseless Speculation, and we were within the BS Boys.
And hey,
do us a favor. Next time you watch a movie, think of Baseless Speculation and maybe minimize the other windows on your computer.
Yeah.
I'm not even asking you to put the phone down.
Yeah, I am, though. Watch a fucking film.
Just like go to the cinema, put the phone down.
Yeah.
If you're watching at home, you know what? I don't even care, because I think it's gotten so bad that people are watching movies on their laptop or a device.
With two tabs.
But it's like they're not even,
Yeah. Just,
you're killing.
Reduce it to a phone watch, people. That's all we ask.
Yeah.
Or watch a movie on your phone, and then you can't, tab out.
Some streaming apps let you have it in a little window,
Yeah, because they want that, because it's a second screen. Second Thanks, Netflix.
Screen, baby.
Who's the head of Netflix now?
I
sure hope nothing bad happens to them.
God, we really are.
Yeah, brother. Bye.
Bye.